Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Alafia and Ashe, Olodumare, Mo Kiloni, Mo Wogun, Marin, I hey. Mother, Father, Creator, God, I greet the new day. I greet the four directions that create the world. Indeed, I am truly humbled and honored for all and everyone in your divine, all blessed and sacred presence here on Ifa Wednesdays on the Power Lunch with the Divine Prince. Our live listening and call-in number is area code 347-215-8967. There are already several hands raised. Just momentarily, I'm going to do a quick roll call so I can identify everyone who is on the phone and everyone who already has their hand raised so that we can maintain a degree of order, if you will. Again, I am humbled and honored and appreciative for your continued support to the Power Lunch Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hoodoo Obeya Bokur, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective, understanding that all is indeed a blessing if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant personal prayer, my mantra, my affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, and my work along this divine, all-blessed life path and earth journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin and the place from where I crystallize and realize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe, Ashe, and Ashe. Today is Wednesday, July 25th, 2012, and I am broadcasting live, emanating, vibrating with you and for you, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally, from the working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Taya Mecca, High Potions, and Hoodoo Central, here in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hoodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, and minerals. Again, I am humbled and honored, appreciative of your continued support, live each and every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio, and always in archive at your leisure and convenience at www.blogtalkradio.com/the Divine Prince, and be sure to put the hyphens in between the Divine Prince. My listen-in and call-in number, again, is area code 347-215-8967. We have several people on the line, so I'm going to go right now to the phone lines, and I'm going to do just a quick roll call. I just want you to identify yourself and where you're calling from. Then I'm going to put you right back on hold, and then I'm going to move forward with the powerful topic of today, a topic that some will find controversial, Ifa, Lakomi, Santeria? What is it? What's the difference? How? Why does it matter to you? What role does that play, and how does that affect the Africans here in America, and how to make the appropriate decision for yourself in terms of initiation, in terms of lineage, in terms of linking up with the community that's going to provide what it is that you seek. And often our expectation does not often match up with our experience where we don't do adequate homework, adequate research, where we don't have adequate understanding for ourselves about what we are becoming a part of. So that will be our topic today, Ifa, Lakomi, Santeria, Cuba, Nigeria, Brazil. What does it mean for Black America? And, of course, I have my two very powerful co-hosts here with me today, Ojalola Ifa Fakin and Osabile Lajuba Ifa from Georgia, the state of Georgia, and Obafemi Orungunwa and Orisha Lifestyle from the state of California. I'm hoping that possibly my godfather, Awo Akinlana, or even my godmother, Mama Yeye, may call in. It's not always certain with them because of the responsibility of their schedule, but if they do call in, we most certainly would be appreciative. And, of course, we will be going to the phone lines. We will be taking your questions, comments, requests by way of the phone lines at 347-215-8967. So I'm going to first go to area code 478. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hello, Pia. This is Babu Delole Fashakin, and glad to be here once again. Just wish peace and blessings to everyone, and enjoy and participate in the show. Yeah. Ashe.
Ashe. Alafia and Ashe. And, of course, we will be forward with you momentarily. Now I am opening area code 925. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
This is Obafemi Origunwa Aboru Aboye. Si Alafia ni.
We most certainly are appreciative of your taking the time out of your schedule as well to be with us, and we will be moving forward with you momentarily also. Area code 919, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Pamela, and I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Peace and blessings. And you had a question or a comment?
I had a question, honey.
Sure. We'll be more than happy to address that for you momentarily. Please do be patient with me, and I will get back to you as we move forward in the show. And we have more people than I've probably ever seen on the phone line as this show continues to grow in popularity. The Blog Talk Radio Power Lunch with the Divine Prince, but more importantly, Ifa Wednesday. And I invite you to, I have a limited number of lines available at 347-215-8967. Just be patient with me. I will address each and every one of you who presses number one and raises your hand as we move forward in the show. So I'm going to take just a brief intermission. I'm going to come back, and then we're going to delve right into the topic with both of our guests, Obafemi and Ojalola Ifa Fakin. And, of course, we will then move on to taking your questions, comments by way of the phone lines at 347-215-8967. That will be forward, remembering that all is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Agiri ki va la dumila. O te va la un toro,
We are again humbled and honored by each and every one who participates in this square circle of gods and goddesses for Ifa Wednesday here on the Power Lunch with the Divine Prince, Awo Ifa Ken, and Obafemi Oregunwa. I most certainly appreciate your continued support and participation in the show as we continue to move forward. Our topic today, for some, is considered a little controversial, and for others, there are some clear defined issues in terms of defining, clarifying, and how we address what is Ifa, what is Lokomi, what is Santeria, and how that is applied to African Americans. Do we have access? Is there equal access? And these are not my questions. These are general questions that many of us have heard, maybe have presented ourselves, or have come across in our own individual walks within these traditions, particularly as African Americans. Some people seem to feel there's a veil, if you will, that does not permit Africans born here in the States from easily accessing these traditions, whether it be Ifa or Lokomi. And again, we're going to make very clear what the distinction and the differences are for those who may not understand. One very simple distinction is how we communicate with the spirit, how we divine. Ifa uses the palm nut. Lokomi Santeria uses the cowrie shell, and there are reasons for that. There are very specific reasons for that, and there are very specific ways in which these forms of divination have to be addressed. So in the time that we have available to us, we have about an hour and a half left. We're going to try and cover as much of this topic as we possibly can. We're going to take your questions, your comments, your concerns at 347-215-8967. Just press the number 1 on your telephone keypad, as Pamela has, and I will get to you in order as we move forward in the show. I won't make you wait too long, but I do want to allow our guest, our co-host, to comment on the topic, to give some education, some history, some understanding, if you will, about the topic, and then we can address the phone call. I'm going to go to Obafemi first. Bawoni, I most certainly am honored to have your continued presence. And if you will, offer us some odu about this topic.
Ashe, aboru aboye. Thank you so much. Today is actually a perfect opportunity for doing so, because on the Yoruba calendar, this is and Ifa Worship Day. So, aboru aboye, may all of our prayers be heard by the divinities. May our sacrifice be made and accepted, and may it manifest peacefully and orderly in all of our lives.
Ashe, ashe.
The one of the, I guess, one thing that I want to start with, is saying this is a fantastic subject. It is controversial. And part of the reason why it is controversial is because, everybody has their own way of making gumbo, and if you've been making gumbo the way your mother made it and the way your grandmother made it and your great-great-grandmother made it, then there are certain ways that it should happen. And when someone else comes along and tells you, well, hey, you can't put crab in the gumbo, or you can't put okra in the gumbo, well, you might be a little offended, because you're not just talking about the gumbo. You're talking about, hours and hours and generations of people standing around in the kitchen making the gumbo together and putting their essence and their life's blood and their love and their essence into that gumbo. And naturally, you're going to want to defend that method because you know that it nourishes you and has been responsible for making you who you are. So it's natural that people are going to want to defend that. At the same time, we want to be flexible in our thinking and only allow our whatever, if we're offended or put off, to only allow that to be skin deep, not to let it go down to the bone marrow. You know, there's lots of different opinions. And one verse of Ifa that gives us a insight into what the limitations of our frustration with one another can be is Ej Yogbe, which tells us basically it's a taboo. Once you become an initiate and a devotee of the divinities, it's a taboo, it's forbidden for one society to be battling with another. And part of what Ej Yogbe tells us is that Olu, which is the name of the Shonkwana priest, Obaluaye priest, does not become vexed with another Olu. Osin, which is the name of the Obatala worshiper, does not become vexed with another Obatala worshiper. The Oba Alalaye, who is the earth divinity, does not begrudge Oba Ajalorun, the divinity of heaven. Oba Ajalorun does not become angry with Atirele de Irikin Binu. The Atirele de Irikin Kibinu does not become angered with a fellow member of Oro. Those are the ancestral societies. It's forbidden. Then a hen will not become so angry that she will lay a black egg. May the world not be angry with me. May I not be angry with the world. We cannot lick honey and hiss in disgust. It is with sweetness that we speak of honey. It is with contentment that we speak of salt. And so it is that the life of Ifa is sweet like honey, I say. And so we speak of the life of Ifa with sweetness. The life of Ifa gives us contentment and satisfaction like salt does enrich and sweeten the food. And so we will speak with contentment as members of the Odisha society. And so the clarification is that we do it, we communicate with one another with love and with the intent to build mutual understanding. One thing I want to clarify is in terms of what the different systems are. Santeria is a blanket term in Cuba for all the Afro-Cuban religions. So Arara, Lukumi, Abakwa, Congo, Palo Mayombe, all that falls under the umbrella of Santeria. Similarly, in Haiti, it's Vodun. You know, they'll call Vodun, but there's many, many different societies. There's the Bizango, there's Nago, there's Rara, and on and on and on. Those are different societies within the Vodun system. In Brazil, it's called Candomblé. Within Candomblé, you've got Nago, Ijesha, Jeje, Kimbisa, Umbanda, Kimbanda, and on and on and on. So these are all different terms that are, you know, that encapsulate Afro-American religious expression in the New World. Speaking specifically on the Yoruba side, Lukumi is the Cuban Yoruba. Nago, Ijesha, these are the Brazilian Yorubas. In Haiti, it is Nago as well. That's when we're specifically talking about the Yoruba people in those different places. And fundamentally, practically, they're very, very, very similar. We all make use of some form of divination. We all make use of some form of sacrifice. We all make use of some form of possession. We all have some form of ancestral reverence. We all have a broad pantheon of divinities, and generally speaking, the divinities are very consistent. Shango is never associated with, you know, with I don't know,
Shango is always fire. He's always thunder. He's always leadership in all the different places where he manifests. Obatala is always serenity, wisdom, peace, eldership. So there's some really, you know, fundamental common ground to let us know that we're talking about the same thing, but we have variations on those different themes. Within those variations, you got some cultural overlays. So in Cuba, even though you've got Yoruba culture intact to a degree, you've got it fitting within a Spanish cultural expression. So it reflects Spanish cultural influences.
And to some degree, Catholicism.
And to some degree, it reflects some Catholicism and Catholic ethos, the value system. Like, you know, here in America, we have a Protestant system. And so part of our approach is Protestant. It's even if you weren't brought up in a Protestant church family, you know, for example, in my own experience, I was brought up in a place where people attended church, but we weren't, you know, it wasn't something that was integral to everything that we did. It was, you know, kind of part of the bigger picture. But I still have more of a Protestant mindset than a Catholic mindset. My thinking is more, you know, is more consistent with individual effort, hard work, literacy. You know, these are the kinds of things that really come out of a cultural expression. And my Africanness is, you know, precedes that and is you know, either subtly or overtly woven into that expression. But I'm definitely American. And American is definitely a Protestant cultural expression. And the same thing will happen with a Cuban or a Brazilian or a Haitian. And so I think that those are things that we've got to also take into consideration, that Protestantism and Catholicism are at variance with one another. Just the psychology, the logic of the two cultural expressions, they don't, you know, they don't see everything eye to eye. But so we have to have that into consideration so that we account for that and we don't carry it over. We don't let the battle of between Protestants and Catholics, we can't allow that to interfere with our being Yoruba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're already alluding to the answer, so don't move too quickly ahead. I want to be sure that we have a well-defined foundation before we move forward. I actually have a list of questions. Again, they're not my questions, but they're questions that are in the air, have been about these topics. One of them is, why is the Nago tradition in some way seen as being less than Lakomi? And why is Lakomi being seen as being more complete, if you will, than some of the other I'll say grandchildren of Yoruba Ifa culture here in the America. That's one of the questions I want to also move forward to as we move into the hour. Another question is why are people being asked to amalgamate? I know of several people, including myself, who received some Ifa but also had to receive some Lakomi. Now, I have my reasons for doing it, and I've heard some other reasons other folks have had for doing it. But I would like to address some of that, if we will, in this environment where we can sort of get, more of a collective participation on the question. Also, Awo Ojolola is also with us. Baba, are you there?
Yes, I am here. That was a very interesting introduction that Baba Obafemi gave us. There are some things that I understand a little differently, but the entire concept, is on target for, you know, what we're talking about. We have all of these different adaptations, if you will, of the traditional West African spiritual practices, And we also have that mixed with the different practices that were established here in the United States and in Europe, why we have cases where you see Catholicism and other aspects of Christianity mixed in with the Ifa, Lukumi, Santeria practices that we have here in the U.S. And even within just Ifa, we've got some conflicts, from one practice to another, from one village to another. We've got some conflicts between the various adaptations of the West African tradition, and of course we have conflicts between Christian, Muslim, and other practices, when you put them side by side with Ifa and all of its variations. The most important thing that we can remember when it comes to different systems of belief and different practices is that we all worship one God. We all serve the same God, and we are all here to help each other. There's short phrase from Etiope is that it's two that I support. I no longer support one. And that verse goes on to emphasize that the people of the earth are here to worship together, to congregate together, and to help each other together. And this is what God, Olodumare, Yahweh, Jehovah, Allah, this is what he wants to see in us. This is what he wants to see us doing. We are here to help. And as Obafemi brought up in a show we did a few weeks back, was that we as humans are put here for the purpose of bringing about a good state of things on Earth. We're here to bring about a good way of living. And the way we do that is by helping each other. The quarrels that we have among different religions and different sects of different religions, they're really counterproductive to the purpose of human life on Earth, and we cannot continue successfully that way. We must have unity. We must realize that there's no my God and your God. It's all the same God, regardless of what name or title we call him by. And some may argue that the supreme being God is a she, a female. Really, I don't see that as a relative, a relevant point or irrelevant. God, the supreme being, is just that, supreme. And beyond all of the things that would divide and compartmentalize us as humans, the supreme being is above all of that. So I don't think we can really argue as to whether the supreme being is male or female. If the supreme being comprises all, and all is from the supreme being, then the supreme being has to be greater than the gender, male or female, and greater than a lot of the concepts that we have here on this earth about what life is. There is one verse that I wanted to point out, and this is that elaborates a little bit, I guess, or teams on the verse from Ejiofe that Babo Bafemi mentioned. And this particular verse is from Warrior Yeku, and it also talks about fighting among priests of different sects, and you know, stating that this is something that's wrong that shouldn't be happening. Specifically, this talks about fighting between the Egungun priests and Baba Laos, which is the Egungun masquerade must never beat a Baba Lao. On the day a Baba Lao raises his hand against an Egungun masquerade, Egungun would say, with hands and legs, the tortoise would roar into a shell. The Wari Oreku. The Egungun masquerade must never beat a Baba Lao. On the day a masquerade raises his hand against a Baba Lao, the Baba Lao would say, lengthwise is the manner in which Kokoyam leaf tears, and the masquerade's costume would ultimately tear on you. These were the ones who cast divination for Alagba, the leader of the masquerade, the Egungun priests. Alagba, the leader of the Egungun priests, is asking Ifa, would I live a fulfilled life? And he was asked to make Ebo. They told him to offer a beer, wine as sacrifice. Your things would please you, they said. Alagba made the Ebo. They now warn both the Egungun masquerade and the Baba Lao that they must not fight each other. And time immemorial until now, we can never hear that our Egungun masquerade and the Baba Lao engage in fight. Life weakens them both. They started dancing and rejoicing at the Baba Lao. The Baba Lao in turn praised Ifa, and Ifa praised Olodumare. They said it was exactly what Baba Lao's had predicted. The warrior or a group. Masquerade must never beat the Baba Lao. On the day of Baba Lao raises his hand against the masquerade was saved with hands and legs. The porters were born to the shell. The warrior or a group. The masquerade must never beat a Baba Lao on the day. The Egungun masquerade raises his hand against the Baba Lao, and the Baba Lao would say, lengthwise is the manner in which Kokoyam beef tears. The Egungun masquerade's costume would ultimately tear on them. These are the ones that cast divination by Alagba, chief of the Egungun masquerade priests, who was asked to take care of the ground and he should make Ebo. Alagba heard of the Ebo and he offered. The wine is sweet. For your rain, it is plentiful. The wine is sweet. For your rain, Ashe.
Ashe.
That tells us that the various priests must not fight among each other. If they do, they will suffer. They will not have the peace and plentifulness that they're supposed to have. There's priests are supposed to be blessed because of the work that they do. If they are fighting, that is counter to the work that they are supposed to do. And this goes beyond just Ifa and Orisha. This goes to priests, the spiritual leaders in every religion. You know, we cannot have peace and blessings the way we're supposed to if we are fighting among each other. And also, we cannot bring peace and blessings to the general population, to our congregations, to our clients and followers, if we are setting a bad example by fighting among each other. And so, although a Catholic use a lot of things differently than I do, as a Babalao used to be thought. I cannot start fighting with the Catholic priest. Neither can I fight with any mom. Neither can I fight with a rabbi. And I surely can't fight with any Orisha. These are the things that will bring us down. And I think everyone will agree we've had enough of being brought down. We all need to work together to raise ourselves up, Ashe.
Ashe, and I obviously agree with that wholeheartedly. I think, however, though, we're being a little lofty in our response. Both of you have sort of given almost the answer to the divide, but I think for many that it's not even clear. I have, even in my own personal walk, have not even gotten clarity into why there is even a divide in the first place, and why there is that the Ifa initiate is somehow excluded on the ground at the everyday level in terms of how Lokomi is being operated here in the States, and particularly for African Americans. And there are many African Americans who feel that they do not have access to that world, whether it be because they don't speak Spanish or some other excuse or reasoning. But then when you seek the answer, often, again, you're only presented with the divide, but not any real clarity about why the divide even exists. I've heard the Naco path is not even complete. And so if you proceed under the Inago, you're not even allowed to participate in some of the ceremonies that are done within the Lokomi community. I've never understood that. And one of the reasons that I re-agamated and took on Lokomi was so that I could have access to those same rooms that Mama Yeye has access to and others have access to who have sort of surrendered to that system. But even I myself still don't have clarity as to what the problem is in the first place. So I'm looking at the two of you to sort of bring some expertise in breaking that.
Okay, the problem that causes the divide in the first place really is the same problem that causes the divide between human beings in everything else in society. That is the want for power, greed, and control. Everybody wants to feel that they have some kind of exclusive rights to things. Everybody wants to, well, not everybody, but a whole lot of people, you know, they want to feel that they are in control and other people must answer to them. And, you know, these are the complications that humans put into life. These are not complications caused by the Supreme Being. These are not complications caused by the Orisha or any saints or any other beings. These are complications presented by humans because of the human tendency to lean toward greed.
Yeah.
And that's why we have, you know, different social and economic classes. That's why we have certain neighborhoods you can't move into, either because they keep prices high so you can't afford it, or just the tension in the area is such that you wouldn't want to live there for fear that you might get burned out, beat up, robbed, whatever. It's all a matter of greed and control.
And when you have people who are put into a position of authority, they tend to, they have access to things and knowledge that it enables them to really act on their greed. It's not designed for them to act on their greed. It's designed for them really to share their knowledge, share their wisdom, and share their practices with others. Because the whole idea is to help others. People in authority, priests, priestesses, we are all servants. We're not crowned kings and things like that. That's a concept to exercise power, and we're not here to exercise power. We are here to utilize power to help others, and that's where we go wrong. This is where the problem is, that rather than using our ashe, our spiritual strength, to help others, we use it. I don't think any of us on this call are in that habit of doing things like that. But I mean, there are many priests and priestesses who use their authority, use their spiritual power to control other people, and to really take advantage of them for their own benefit rather than helping somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's where a lot of secrecy comes in. Right? One thing I notice here in the U.S. is that when some Babalawos learn Yoruba language, they learn it and use it in order to keep the information, the practices, and knowledge secret from everybody else, because everybody else doesn't know Yoruba language. But if you consider where it all came from, it comes from West Africa, it comes from Yoruba-speaking places in Nigeria, Benin, Togo. When any spiritual practice, any spiritual ritual or ceremony is going on, and everybody's speaking Yoruba, everybody around is also speaking and understanding Yoruba. So it's not a secret. When Ifa verses are chanted, it's not a secret, because the client and anybody else around listening understands the language. Ifa is not meant to be secret. None of these traditions are meant to be secret. Right? But people hold on to secrets because they feel that gives them power and control over somebody else. One thing I'm going to bring up as far as controlling other people, and I know we may catch some flack behind this because of what I'm saying, but it is that in Lukumi, in most Lukumi houses that I've heard of, there is a practice that when a woman receives a hand of Ifa, she receives only one ikin, that is one consecrated palm nut. Whereas a hand of Ifa should consist of at least 17. And the purpose of that is the hand of Ifa is your personal connection to Ifa, and when you go for a major divination, or say like your reading of the year, or some reading for a major milestone in life that you're about to cross, like maybe marriage or something, or buying a house, you are supposed to bring
that handed before, those sacred palm nuts, to the Babalao, and the Babalao uses them, uses your sacred connection to Ifa to do the divination. And if a person is given only one Ikin, they do not have that connection the way it's supposed to be. And they are therefore basically under the control of the Babalawa. And in traditional West African Ifa, we certainly don't do that. A woman, just like anybody else, and just like a man, if she receives a hand of Ifa, she's going to have at least 17 Ikin. The 17 is for 16 of the Ikin are actually manipulated in the hand, and one Ikin sits at the head of the tray. And that is the way that's supposed to be. But that's just one example of control, and that is one gender trying to have control over another. The males controlling the females, keeping them limited in their rashe, limited in their connection and their understanding of Ifa. That's one example. And you know, not all Lukumi houses practice that way. I have come across at least a couple where a woman receives a hand of Ifa, she's got the entire hand. She's got at least 17 Ikin. How other Lukumi houses feel about those that do give a full hand of Ifa to a woman, I don't know. Maybe there's some conflict there, maybe there's not. But, you know, the idea is control. Somehow keeping your foot on somebody's neck so you can control them, is that makes you feel powerful. And that is the number one reason for the divide, not only in our different sects of the different sects and adaptations of the West African tradition, but also in everything else in society. Ashe.
Ashe. Pamela, are you still with me? Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I am.
Sure, go right in.
Yes. Okay. I would like to know, do you see a wedding coming up for me in the future with Tony?
Now, we aren't doing readings. We don't do readings live on the air. They tend to be very personal, and we want to give you the appropriate
respect. What's your email, then, so I can...
Well, you should be able to find a link for all three of us on the show page, and you can, you know, further inquire about having a more...
Okay, yes, a reading, a more in-depth. Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
All three of us are on Facebook. I believe we're all three also on Yahoo Messenger. And are we all on Google Talk as well?
Yeah, I'm on everything. I'm on everything.
You're spread all over the place. I know that. Babo Bafemi, would you just please clarify for everybody the online contacts that you have?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think I'm on Google Talk, but all the other Facebook and my webpage has a little communication portal at obafemio.com. And from there, you can pretty much branch out to any the other areas where I'm active. If I could, I wanted to also add a little more Odu substantiation for the division, for the why we have this confusion. And there is a verse that tells us that Ifa says that we should reason together so that we can be wealthy. This was the Ifa that was divined for the 16 Odu who were moving together but could not understand one another. When Ejiogbe divined for somebody, Oyekumeji would despise him. When Oyekumeji divined for somebody, Iwoimeji would despise him. When Iwoimeji would divine for someone, Odimeji would despise him. When Irosumeji would divine for some, excuse me, when Odimeji divined for someone, Irosumeji would despise him. When Irosun divined, Onwenrin would despise him. When Obata would divine, Okoran would despise him. Down all of the 16 Meji, every time when one of them would divine for one, they would all despise and insult one another. If I says, why is it that all of them will come to the world without a leader? Such that if one Odu would divine, the other Odus would not belittle him. They therefore took the case to Olodumare, asking him to choose a leader. He should tell them who would be the highest and the lowest and those in the middle. While they were going to Olodumare, Oyekumeji didn't tell Iwori. Iwori didn't tell Odi. And on and on and on, none of them told the other that they were going to have this very important meeting. And so what did that do? That kicked off a whole nother fight, you know. And so Ifa is telling us that conflict and contest and ranking and superiority and seniority and all of these things, this is endemic to creation. If you're ever in doubt, you just look at your hand. And you see all your fingers are not the same. Some are longer than others. Some are more useful than others. But you're not going to cut one off, you know. But some are just more useful than others. Some are bigger than others. And so it is with individuals, you know. You can you have an individual from Lukumi or from Haiti or from Brazil, whatever. That individual might be, you know, the top dog where they are. And they can hold their own, and they can make things happen. And then, likewise, you've got systems that are, you know, more. Generally speaking, the Nigerian system, the West African system, is superior to the others. The Nigerian system is superior to the others because it is complete and intact. That doesn't mean that what's happening in Alabama is irrelevant, or what's happening in Guyana doesn't matter, or, you know, the Brazilian system is, it isn't that. It's just a realization that in Nigeria, as Oluo was saying, the language is intact. We just start with the language. Any 7-year-old child, if you say, oh, to, 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 ro, 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 to, to, line, that child will understand the words, a Yoruba child. Those words are not going to, you know, he may not understand the meaning of them. He may not be able to explain what the code is, because Ifa is a coded language on top of that. So the secret is wrapped into it. You can see it and hear it and not know what is being said, really. But the exoteric literal translation is open to everybody. And so if you speak the language, if you don't speak the language, then you don't have access to that. That is one thing that we have to say. You know, just quite simply, Nigeria is way beyond the rest of the Yoruba world, the Orisha world. When the Bata drum plays, boom, 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 boom. Here we play rhythms, we play patterns, and there are probably a handful of people in Cuba who can still articulate some of what the drum is saying. But in Nigeria, every stroke, they know what every stroke of the drum is. They understand what tree you have to pull that wood from, when you have to cut the wood, what you have to say to the ground and to the tree before you cut the wood, and before you, all of that stuff is deep, deep, deep into the culture that we just don't have as much access to in the new world. So
let me play devil's advocate and interject another question. Now, that's one of the topics on my list to address. And I'm not speaking of any particular person, leader, who said this, that this is a general compilation of questions that I've gathered about this topic.
Yeah.
What's being said is that because you use the word complete, that system is complete there in Nigeria,
yeah.
And I agree wholeheartedly. And as a black nationalist, spirit naturally drew me back to Africa. I want it at the root. I want it at the soil. Now, what is being said, however, is that as African-Americans, we are not complete. And that
oh,
we
yeah.
now have in other Eguns, other ancestors, into the mix. And because of that, that is why we cannot connect with Nago or connect with traditional Ifa in the same way, and that we are sort of being, I'm trying to look for a soft word, corralled into the Lokomi path. Now, do
you know what?
I agree with that. I'm just presenting that.
Get it like this. We have, as African, any African-American, this is what I would say, any African-American, anyone who wants to second-guess you, simply put, we already have done what the rest of the African world is not going to do for another 100 years. Simple. We've already accomplished more, with or without Orisha, than the rest of the African world will. It's going to take the rest another at least 100 years to get to where we are, where we were 100 years ago. So if Ifa is talking about we worship Ifa so that we can do well on the earth, so that we can have children, we can have children. If we worship Ifa so we can establish good health, we have good health. If we're doing this so that we can become powerful in wealth and money and take on high titles, we already have that. We already have that. You can take an average African-American superintendent of schools who's managing more people in a bigger budget than, you know, probably somebody who's a governor in a whole state of West Africa. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about just someone who's a superintendent of schools, never mind a mayor, senator, congressman, CEO of Beatrice or what any other organization. So as far as worldly accomplishment and directing and providing leadership for the entire world, we've already accomplished the best that you can imagine. And
okay,
the fact that the people are here and are able to come into the country and practice the religion and move freely from this side to that side is a direct result of what our parents and our grandparents did in this country. And they were doing it in the name of Jesus. So I don't feel any kind of reservation about the power of my Egungun. I don't have to be shy. I'm not a guest in the house of Orisha because my grandfather didn't say She Alafiani Aboru Aboye. I don't hold my head low because of that. I hold my head high because my grandfather, they called him a two-headed man. And when you came to him and you had a problem, he said, okay, baby, go and get this and go and get that and go get this, and I'm going to get the number 4 tub and I'm going to wash your feet. And he did it the way he knew how to do it, and he got results.
And we having our ancestors with us.
Yes.
I would like to add something on that. The idea of our ancestors, of us having mixed ancestry, the Europeans and other non-African ethnicities. Science has already proved that all human life began in Africa. So I don't care what ethnicity we're talking about we have in our ancestry. It all leads back to Africa. And this is something that, it cannot be argued. This is a proven scientific fact that human life began in Africa. So, regardless of what the ethnicity is in our ancestry, we know it all goes back there. And Obafemi wrote up something, about his grandfather, wasn't speaking Yoruba, wasn't practicing Ifa and Orisha faith, but still he was successful in what he did. Now, my own grandfather, my paternal grandfather, was actually a great leader of this time. He was the first black Union vice president on an international level ever. And he was also the youngest ever, still is the youngest ever to this day. Right? And he started, he was one of the founding members of the dining hall workers union on the railroads. And he later went on to incorporate hotel, restaurant, and bartenders in that union. Unfortunately, he died at a relatively early age and did not live on to, do more work. And actually, as a result of dying young, he didn't get historical credit for a lot of things that he did. A lot of his accomplishments were overshadowed by those of Asa Philip Randolph, who we know was another great union leader for Black Americans. But as I said, my grandfather was the first there, and he did that without any knowledge of Ifa, without any knowledge of Yoruba language, but he did it with one thing in his heart. That was helping others to live a better life. That's what being a leader was all about. It was about helping others to live a better life. And, of course, in the process, he was blessed and lived better himself until he died. But that's what we all have to do, regardless of where we are or what our job is, whether we are priests and priestesses or rabbis or imams or congressmen, company, corporate presidents, managers. We have to help other people. And if we don't use our authority and power to help other people, we're going to be in trouble.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Area code... let's see. Area code 610. Who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Moonstone Shadwolf. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Alafia, how may we assist you today?
How are you? Thank you for opening the channel up for me on this show. And I also would like to bring up something that I've been noticing. It's, you know, there's a lot of occupation, you know, from out of the aftershadow of the Berlin Conference, with the extreme cultural atavism that's going on there by way of China. And as I notice, when I go to different, you know, drum circles and festivals, I'm seeing a lot of older people. And when I speak to younger people from the diaspora of the continent, and I just mention different things to them, they say, oh, no, we don't do that. And it just seems it's almost like a preservation bank over here to keep those different things going. I mean, I'm a drummer, I'm an Ngoma myself. And also, when the people, you know, from the other tribe came over here, they were also the indigenous natives that helped them to learn the different, you know, vibrations of this land, of these herbs, and to combine them. So I just wanted to bring that up in lieu as well.
Ashe, and I have to agree with you, beloved. That, too, has been my experience. I've received nothing but open arms from the continent, from various areas of the continent, about how to use their herbs and our herbs, about learning their traditions and our traditions. And I think a part of this conversation, which we haven't really spoken on, we're still dealing with race and prejudice, even amongst African Americans and Latino, Hispanic Americans. And there's a lot of other political issues that I think are also playing themselves out in terms of how these traditions are being passed along and how people are being received. So that too has been my experience. And here in New Orleans and Congo Square, we embrace practitioners, healers, priests, priestesses from all parts of Africa. And there's no conflict. There's no sense of one seeking to overpower the other. So sometimes I question, is this really an issue that is specific to America, black Americans, and of course Central and South America, who are still intricately connected to us and slavery in various ways, and we're just not addressing some of that old stuff and allowing ourselves to move forward in a much healthier, more progressive way? Or is there really something foundational, you know, that's missing here? And before I allow, you know, someone else to speak, I also want to add, too, we as African-Americans have responsibility to learn the material.
You know,
I say all the time, we can't continue to say we're being tricked, we're being hoodwinked, we're being misled, when there's such a wealth of opportunity to learn these traditions, connect with these people, connect with these cultures. We're all on the Internet, where we all have access to these countries, where we can speak to the people who live there about these traditions. So I think, too, we are making excuses for not doing our own homework and not really doing what we need to do to be qualified within the tradition.
And for instance, I want to just add in closing, there are, like, for instance, in New Orleans, you know, where it's particularly humid to where the tropics are, but when you go up to the woodlands, there's four different seasons. There's four different elements. There's different herbs that grow there. There's different electromagnetic fields at the time. There's different solar and, you know, lunar positioning that opens up different vertexes and gateways on other levels. So, I mean, it's really, it is very, very extensive.
Yes.
Akshay, and of course we most certainly do appreciate your call.
Thank you.
I think there's a, for us as African Americans, one thing that, just to kind of, again, I'm switching with you now, Prince Tom, I'm going to, you know, kind of devil's advocate it. It is always 100% about unity and oneness, but at the same time, we have to, we know, when I learned something when I bought a house. The first time I bought a house, I understood why the ghetto is the ghetto today. What's happening in what we call the ghetto? Well, everybody is a renter. Everybody is transient. They're going to be there for 6 months. They're going to be there for a year. Maybe they'll be there 5 years, but that's not their home. So they're not invested in that area. They're not invested in that local school. They're not invested in the whether or not the trash gets picked up. They're not invested in how many liquor stores to churches or markets there are. They're not sensitive to that because they're not invested in that community, stereotypically in urban black America. But as soon as you buy a house and you go through all the paperwork and you start looking at the 30-year mortgage, well, you're becoming invested in that local area. And so it makes you you're committed now. And so you have an interest in it, because if your neighbor doesn't take care of his house or her house, your property value will drop. If people are, you know, doing donuts in the middle of the intersection, then that your property value drops. If the school is not up to par, your property value drops, and your quality of life will be compromised. So when we're able to commit and really invest, then we start to take ownership of the process. When we commit and we invest in our own spiritual development, we take ownership of that. So when you say, Prince Ty, hey, you got the Internet there, you got cell phones, you got unlimited access to the people back home, whatever you want to know, start to learn. Well, that inclination only comes to you as you're really ready to invest, as you really see yourself as a part of, as a lifelong member. You're not just floating through the world of Odisha, right? You're not just kind of beachcombing and trying a little bit of yoga and trying a little capoeira and trying a little djembe and trying a little shango. No. When you're invested, you're going to make this your life path, and you're going to pass this on to your children and your children's children, then you're going to take it seriously.
Yes.
I think that's where we are. We're not. We're too many of us are just sampling were not invested. And the reason why that has a detrimental effect, with one thing you see, for example, in like Venezuela or Mexico or Brazil, is that the people are building on a lasting tradition wherein if you play salsa music or rumba or samba, you're going to see 9-year-olds and 89-year-olds get on the dance floor because they're invested in the culture. The way of life is unbroken. And so when a person in, let's say, Latin America brings Ifa into their world, well, they're investing, they're using Ifa and Orisha as a part of their investment in their family and their culture. They're plugging Ifa into a bigger picture. They know that they're Cuban, or they know that they're Venezuelan, or they're Puerto Rican, and that they're going to do all of the things that are nationally part of their identity, and they're going to incorporate Ifa into that. We as African Americans are kind of waiting for someone to save us. We're not taking the initiative to say, no, I'm an African American, and this is the strength of my culture. This is what distinguishes me and allows me to stand head and shoulders above the rest. I will not compromise that. I will integrate Ifa into who I am and what I bring into the world, and I will continue to exercise my authority in my sphere of influence with the power of Ifa, illuminated by the wisdom of my ancestors, drawing upon the strength and the power of the earth that I have put blood, sweat, and tears into. That will be the deciding factor for African Americans when we decide to take Lukumi and plug it into African American culture, when we take Ifa from Nigeria and we plug it into African American culture, when we take Haitian Vodou and work it into African American culture, then all of these things will be put into a completely different perspective.
Ashe.
Good point.
Baba Itas Kim, were you about to say something? Hello? Can I be heard? Are you all with me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Another thing, too, another component that you didn't say specifically but was sort of implied was economy.
Yes.
You become invested, when you care about what happens in that community and that neighborhood on that block, you automatically become a part of the economy.
Yes.
And I think because of some of our past history with the church and with the American system, particularly for black nationalists, who I'm finding are having a bigger issue with the Ifa, Santeria, Lokomi difference, and why we now go to someone else outside of ourselves to find completion. I think some of that baggage is about economy. The price for initiation, the cost for actively participating, the cost for feeding and keeping up your shrines and your altar, and we're relying on a negative imprint from the past about what economy is and how economy works. And we're still living often in an economy that we don't see benefiting us and doing anything for us. And I'm sure that Cuban perspectives may be very different because their history has been different. And,
yes.
And I think that also plays a role in why that distance is there, that difference is there, and that gap in understanding is there.
Yes. Yes. The if I said that when Earth is a marketplace, let's just start there. Heaven is our home. Earth is a marketplace. Heaven is our home. And so in a marketplace, what do you do? You trade. You bring your things in and you exchange and you bought molecules with other people, and that's the way it's designed. And so if you're coming to the market with nothing, then you're going to be a consumer. Simple as that. You have to come to the market with some yams or some fabric or something you got to bring, and then you can start to exchange. You got something to trade with. And for African Americans, you've got man, like you have a leadership clarity that is okay. Well, let's just take President Obama. Only this place could produce a President Obama, a black man with the leadership acumen high enough to lead effectively the most powerful nation in the world at the worst possible time ever. That's what we have in President Obama. The worst economic situation you can imagine, and you've got a black man who's coming in and who can effectively lead us in this difficult time. That's something that only we could produce. And so as a one single commodity or service that we have to add, you know, that we have to add value to the Orisha world community, we need to hold that with certainty, not with arrogance and, you know, self-righteous, you know, foolishness, but with certainty. I know that this is what I bring to the table. Let me use it. Let me bargain with it. Let me use that as leverage so that I'm not a consumer. I'm not coming to beg somebody to give me what I already chose in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy, I mean, if we just stick with money before we even get to an economy, if we were a world economy, I think we would be the ninth richest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
when you come to the marketplace, even if you are just counting your money, you know that you have a great level of leverage. What are you going to use it for? What are you going to aspire to with this money?
Mm-hmm.
What are you
Absolutely. And when I look at these communities, and you listed some of those things, you know, you had the boxer drummers, you had the dancers, you had the priests, you had the cooks, you have all the people who are now invested in keeping Lacomi alive and those traditions alive and that economy going. And we need to do that same thing here in the state. In terms of this tradition, and we would not feel as if we're sort of being
left out,
cornered, in having to leave the country to go and get something that we should really have here.
I'd like to note something about the earth being a marketplace and heaven being home. Earth is a marketplace specifically. The marketplace is where you go and you do business. It's buying, selling, and trading. One thing that I don't think many people really think about regarding the marketplace is that the marketplace is a place where people are actually helping each other. They're cooperating. They're making business deals. They're you know, they're exchanging products, ideas, money, of course. And without that cooperation, nobody does well. You must have cooperation between consumer and seller and between different producers and the goods that they barter for. There has to be cooperation in this way. Everybody is helped in one way or another. Of course, when we have people doing business, if they're there to sell something and nobody comes with money to buy, their efforts are futile. So those who come with money to buy, they are helping the sellers. And the sellers who have something worthwhile to buy, they are helping the buyers. And when they agree on, a decent price for things, when there is agreement on bartering goods, this is all cooperation. This is people helping each other. This is what makes business good. It's what makes the economy good. And it is what makes life good, cooperation.
I learned that as a street vendor. You know, at some point, you got to go to the restroom. Somebody's got to watch your table. You got to trust somebody enough to do that. And there may be someone else that has something that you might have. We might go to an event and no one person has the booth fee. So you get three or four people with their individual product or service, and we come together and we watch each other's back and we work in cooperation so that we all have a benefit. And I think we've seen so much imbalance in terms of that in America. I think, again, for black people, some of us are skittish about, you know, susus and getting involved in collective economic endeavors, even though we recited every Kwanzaa, cooperative economics, you know, but when it really comes to putting that dollar down, we get nervous. But we're doing it anyway. We're doing it blindly. If you're not voting, you're voting. If you're shopping, you know, where you choose to spend your dollar, you're already participating in the system. Mm-hmm. So you will get some consciousness about what you're going to be doing anyway and make that work within your community.
That's the investment. That's saying the chance, I'm going to take a chance on you over and over and over. I'm going to spend with you. I'm going to share these ideas with you. I'm going to build this with you because I see you as an extension of myself. I know that when I help you, I'm helping myself. And if I says the right hand washes the left, and together they wash the face. And so we charity begins at home. The more that we can build that confidence to go across town, to be with one another and share with one another, just like we're doing here on this show. And again, I have to really applaud you, Prince Ty, for facilitating this forum and this dialogue over the weeks and the months and the years, because it does create the venue that is necessary for people to hear the ideas and then go out and try them. That's the one thing that every time I'm on, I want to remind myself to share with the people. Ifa we have Eshu. Eshu is one of the universal principles of the Orisha lifestyle. And what is Eshu about? When you see Eshu come around with his erect penis, Eshu is about manifestation. You cannot have Eshu and things not manifest. We make sacrifice so that Eshu will take the sacrifice to where it needs to go, so that it will, our prayers will manifest. And so what you hear, if you believe these words or if you don't believe these words, in the next 24 hours, try it out. Go and do something that will either prove or disprove anything that we're saying on this show right now. And then once you gotten the proof or the disproof, come back and say, hey, tell your story. This is what happened. And you know, then we can continue to build and grow from there. But we got to keep taking chances on one another and not be afraid of hurting one another's feelings and not setting out to hurt one another's feelings either, because it's you know, if I said speak to me so that I might speak to you, it's by our voices that we know one another in the dark. And so let's use our voices. Our voices are not just the sound that comes out of our mouth. Our voice is our presence. It's our unique contribution. It's our unique mind. Our ori is expressed through our voice. And so let our voices be heard in the circle. This is what I think. This is what I have. This is what I want. This is what I don't want. And let people hear your voice and then respond. Give us a chance to respond so that we can get better and we can do better. Because waiting is not going to serve us. The you know, to be nationalistic, the Nigerians are going to take care of the Nigerians. The Cubans are going to take care of the Cubans. The Mexicans are going to take care of the Mexicans. The Venezuelans are going to take care of the Venezuelans. Who's going to take care of the African Americans?
Ashe, and sometimes I think we use the discussion as an excuse not to move forward. You know, we know that there are issues. We know that there are political mess going on. We know that there are things that we have to learn. There's a learning curve. But at some point, put, like my dad used to say, put one foot in front of the other, eventually you'll get here, you know. Sometimes we have to just put it to action and begin to move forward. Present the question, you know, present your concerns, present the things that may not be comfortable, but by all means, do something.
Right.
I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
Excuse me, Prince. I'll wait till you're finished. Excuse me.
No, I was just going to take a break, but please, go ahead.
Okay. I've learned something very, I've turned 40, and just I've had a chance to be around some very prominent and auspicious people. And I noticed something, you know, a couple of older people, you know, be it Sicilian or old people, you know, would teach me some things. They said there's a difference between money and currency. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear people say, I'm making money. I said, no, the mint manufactures money. So
right.
When you're talking about currency, you're talking about, you know, just waves. You're talking about excitement. You're talking about electromagnetic things, which is hence why they make currency out of metals. And
right.
They put all these different sacred geometries on these bills.
Right.
And it really goes back to the wealth of having the engineering. That is one of the big hindrances that our people have. If we had access to these natural resources and were divinely giving the engineering skill, what the hell you need with cash for?
Right.
But I mean, just saying, and of course, you know, being in the DeLorean and the Back to the Future mindset, but just seeing how, even when it comes to divination, you have to do things at different times. You have to have different frequencies and different, you know, frequencies of herbs and different crystals to heighten it and all those things to pretty much raise that vibration up into that hertz or whatever, you know, we want to call it, so that it can be heard and can be transcended back down. And it's the same reason why you have different people such as some of the Khazars of Russia or the so-called Jews, you know, using Kabbalah and quote-unquote using, you know, green magic. I mean, look at, not, you know, just pointing fingers, but look at how far they've come in 50 years.
Right.
And brother, some of the listeners want to know who you are. They said you need to say your name again.
Okay, my name is Moonstone Shadow Wolf. I'm on Facebook. I am a First Nation Siksika. My mother was by way of Aiti. Her people are from Benin in a village called Savalo. My dad's people hails from Ghana, and where the people had descended into Jamaica. And he, you know, just on that, I will always say, as the great Marcus Garvey said, I will never trade an island for a continent.
Ashe. You know I know who you are, but some of the listeners tweet that guy.
I, you know, I just tell people all the time, you know, Bruce Wayne never met Batman. I'm just here.
Ashe, we are honored, indeed. I just wanted to take a quick break and get some water, and then we'll come back with the rest of the show. We have about 15 minutes left. I'm going to play about a three-minute song. I appreciate each and every one of you. All of your lines are and still will continue to be open. And I am inviting those who are listening on the line, if you do have a question, comment, or request in these last 15 minutes, to press the number 1 at 347-215-89. 6-7, and we will be more than happy to assist you. All is a blessing. Ashe.
Hegwaye only. Obadala. Bawa.
Are mundo do ar. Deno, Baba Merilogun, Baba Leimaru, Baba Kankasi, o Batala desde la Ború, desde la Voce, desde la Bocheche, Ayaguna Leibo, o Chagriñán, Yekun Yekun, o Bamoro Lela, Ori Zampagua, o Batayana, o Bataiza, o Batala Kankasi, o Batala Virinigua Nigualano, Eru Ayen, Baba Fiedeno, o Dungaremu.
Baba
honored and appreciative for your participation in IFA Wednesdays with the Divine Prince here on the Power Lunch at 12 noon U.S. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. I am certainly honored and grateful for all of our participants today, Moonstone, Shadow Wolf in Pennsylvania, who also has the Clean Nature Bath and Body Products. So please do go to Facebook and check him out. Of course, to our regular co-hosts, Awos, Babalaos, Ojolola Ifa Sakin, and Osabile Lajuba Ifa in Georgia, and Opafemi Oregunwa and Orisha Lifestyles in California, and of course, all of our callers and listeners. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. Again, I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm going to allow you to say whatever you will at this point. As we close and move forward, and I invite you back again on next Wednesday for IFA Wednesdays, and throughout the week, if you ever get a chance, for my regular Power Lunch broadcast. Obafemi, Ola, Jola, would anybody like?
Yes. Closing remarks. I want to think back to what IFA tells us in Onwenrika, which is that an intellectual is the one who understands deep issues, and whatever is being done is clear only to the doer. It's with a trader that one should discuss trade. If we want to buy cloth in the market, then we should show it to the weaver. Moths don't argue with the one who lights and extinguishes light. heaven does not argue with the stone thrower, the big rat who steals palm fruit and invites death into his own home. Ephes is telling us that expertise is desirable. Expertise allows you to get definitive answers to troubling questions. Expertise is something that is cultivated and demonstrated by people who have put in their hours to learn and study and master a particular discipline. If you master leukemia, your life will be better. If you master Haitian Vodun, your life will be better. If you master Ifan Orisha lifestyle from Nigeria or from the Republic of Benin, your life will be better. The key is to actually master the discipline. Become an expert at whichever level it is that you are going to practice. And more importantly, understand why. Why does it matter? What is it that you are preparing yourself to do and add to the world? How are you going to leave it better than how you found it? And once you can answer those questions for yourself, if you are just somebody who comes in for divination once a year, or you are someone who's committed to becoming a full-on priestess or priest and serving other people, it will, as you say, Prince Taya, well, you will be able to count it all as a blessing, because you know that these are the necessary elements and ingredients that you need to be able to make a meaningful contribution to the most important people in your life, starting with yourself.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Ashe. Once again. Yes, I am here. And just wanted to give some brief closing statements. I definitely agree and support the idea that Obafemi just mentioned, which is to commit to what it is that you set out to do and be the best that you can at it so that you can help others with it. And through helping others, you will also help yourself. Ifa even says that we need to be the best that we can be. There is a short prayer in Ifa that begins by saying, I am what Olodumare, my God, makes me to be. I'm not what I make myself. And that's very significant, and I don't think we take time enough when we use these prayers to really take in what it means. God made us with all the ability, all the power that we need in order to carry out the job of bringing about a good state of things on earth. So we have that goodness in us. This is what God made us to be. And it is the human factor of free choice and choosing the wrong thing that makes life difficult. It causes the divisions that we have. It causes us to be less than what we're supposed to be. Causes us to do cruel and evil things rather than doing good and helpful things. So we must always strive to maintain that goodness that that God has given us from birth, from what we were born with, what humans were made with. And we must listen to our Ori. As we have mentioned on previous shows, Ori is the essence of Olodumare, the essence of God within us. It is that spiritual essence in us that guides us through life, and it's our most personal Orisha. It is something that is always with us, been with us from birth, and will be with us to the day that we die. Let me elaborate a little bit on that short prayer about Ori. Is Ori that made me? It's not a human. It's my God, Olodumare, that made me. It is Ori that made me. The Ori of Agbe made Agbe. The Ori of Oluko made Oluko. It is not a human. It is the Creator that made me. It is not a human. It is Olodumare that made me. What that verse, that prayer emphasizes is the oneness of Ori and Olodumare, which points out that God's essence is indeed within us in our Ori. And it is God's essence that created us to be what we are. And we must not allow ourselves to be less than what our Creator, what the Supreme Being made us to be. If we do this and we apply that to everything in the same way that Baba Obafemi mentioned, which is being committed to the things that we do and being committed to doing our best at it, being committed to perfecting our practices, our businesses, whatever it is that we do. We will be good at it, and we will do good with it. And this is the important thing. Do good with whatever it is you have, whatever talent you have. We must help each other, and we must be unified. We must recognize that we all worship the same God, whether we are in Santeria, Lukumi, traditionally Ifa, whether we are Jews, Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Episcopalians, Muslim, Sikh, Baha'i, whatever our faith is, we must realize that we are all here on this earth for the same reason. And we all worship the same God, and we all must help each other in this life. The sooner we realize that, the sooner we put all of that into practice, the better off we will be. Ashe.
Ashe. And I also want to give Moonstone Shadow Wolf the opportunity to give some closing remarks and to advertise some of your products and projects. We're not on the air live, but it will go into archive, and everybody who will listen to the show in archive will hear it.
Absolutely. Thank you once again. I want to state that worrying is reverse meditation. Taking that worry and applying some work to the stress that you receive from it, if you turn that all inside out, miracles happen. Period. I would like to just speak in briefly about what I do. I'm a aromatherapist. I'm also an herbalist and a practitioner of Ayurvedic medicine. I have a page on Facebook, facebook.com/CNBBWW. We have a like page. We also have a web store, and that address is www.cnbbww.biz. And one more thing that we've done in appreciation and as a special gift to all the listeners and people who will hear this, we also have our own application on the Google Android market. You can search for it. It's free. And you can also look for that under CNBBWW. So our aim is to
incorporate science, art, beauty, and aromatherapy through everyday practices to help alleviate stress and to improve the quality of one's health.
Ashe, we most certainly appreciate you and all of our listening audience. I invite you to join me here again tomorrow at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, Thai Potions, and Hoodoo Central. And, of course, to join me again here next week along with Baba Ifa Sakin and Awo Oregunwa for the Ifa Wednesdays here on the Power Lunch. And I do hope that Moonstone Shadow Wolf, you can find some time to join me, and I will do the same and find some time to join you on your Blog Talk Radio show. Until next time, remembering that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Get what's mine. Now I know all that the chosen are few. There's no mountain I can climb, though the valley is so wide. I'll be always driving constantly through. So someday I'll find
right hand.